You know, Jesus is called the Word of God. Our God, His character is that He is a God that speaks. He spoke to me this morning. The moment my eyes opened, it was powerful. I love those times when God desires my attention. And then when He speaks, as I'm reading His Word, I pray you hear His voice this morning. Heavenly Father, Your will be done. Speak for Your servants here. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. Take your Bibles and turn to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. There is something that I have stressed before because it is something that I desperately need to remember. And I stress it to you again now. Your view of God is the most important thing about you. In fact, A.W. Tozer says this, what comes into our minds when we think about God is the most important thing about us. Now, here's our problem, or one of them. When we start thinking about God, or when we are challenged to think about God, we wind up thinking just from our human characteristics. That's not who God is. Through the psalmist in Psalm 50, the Lord rebuked those that were listening and said, thou thoughtest that I was altogether such an one as thyself. You see, that's not true. God is God. As we learn Scripture, as we get into His Word, and we prayerfully seek to hear His voice, we read His Word, He begins to open His Word up to us and Himself. You'll seek Me and find Me when you search for Me with all your heart. You will not come to know God by just sitting back and thinking about, well, this is how God treated me here. This is how God treated me there. In Isaiah 55, the Lord said, for my thoughts are not your thoughts. Neither are your ways my ways. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Now, why is that important? Because at this very moment, our God is engaging the entire world. That is stunning to the imagination. We never saw this, but the power is unmistakable. And He's doing it, folks. And listen to me. It is Him. We can blame conspiracies. We can blame faceless men in smoke-filled rooms someplace. No. This is our God. He is doing what He will. He is preparing this world for the Antichrist. And His ways are not our ways. If there is ever a time that we need to remember how our God taught us to pray, it is right now. And we'll be going back to this passage down the road. But do you remember Matthew 6? After this manner, pray, Our Father who art in heaven. Listen, hallowed be thy name. Therein is an attitude that we need to have. But then he goes on to say this, Thy kingdom come. Listen, thy will be done. God spoke to me in such a way. It's been hard. There's been times the fog when it comes to the anesthesia and just different stuff, and it's been hard to just kind of kick back into gear. I never foresaw this. Not like this. But God has been able to reach through the fog. And there have been times when, I mean, it's like, oh my soul. In Romans chapter 1, we read some incredible passages, especially toward the end, where the Lord says, you know what, mankind is without excuse. He went on to tell about the debauchery that mankind would get into. And He is right. Mankind has done that. America has done that. And so finally, after saying God gave them up, God gave them up, we read in verse 28, Romans 1, please take note. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. The first part of that verse speaks of this. The human race put God to the test. Are you the God that we want to rule over us? And He was not. The human race as a whole rejected God. Because of that, the second part of the verse, God said, okay, I'm going to give you a mind that is incapable of discharging the functions of a mind that can know its own salvation, that can figure out what it needs to do. That is why we are watching the madness come out of places of so-called leadership. The insanity of it all. In the news, in opinions, places of power, and not just America, but all over the world, and especially, I believe, we can sense it and our land. There is a madness. There is so much that is lacking of common sense because God has given this nation and the world over to a reprobate mind. That's why we see what we see. And so now we're living out Psalm 2. Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against His anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. We don't want your Bible. We don't want your commands. We don't want your God. We want to determine what a marriage is. We want to determine what our sex is. We want to determine every little thing about us. God gave them over to a reprobate mind. And because God has done that, the heathen rage. The people rebel. That's what's going on around us. But I want us to remember something. There was a place where mankind was when this started, and one of that place we need to remember as Christians, not that we would lose our salvation. Please, don't misunderstand. But this is in the makeup of mankind. Look back to Romans 1 and go to verse 21. Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful. I have 2 points this morning, and I believe it's so important for us to remember, especially in this day. Number one, we have a testimony to maintain. Go to Isaiah 6, would you please? Isaiah 6 is fascinating. In the previous chapters, we have someone that has been called to speak for God. His name is Isaiah. And he has begun already. I'm not going to go into detail right now, trying to save my strength. But then suddenly, there is something that takes place. We've read it so many times, but there is something that we need to see here. Verse 1. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up. Now understand something. God has moved. Isaiah is now in a place where God is giving him revelation, and it's, oh my, watch this. Verse 2, above it stood the seraphims, each one had 6 wings. With twain he covered his feet, and with twain he covered his face, and twain he covered his feet. And with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory. Did you hear that? The whole earth is full of His glory. Now please hold that thought. And the post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Can I stress something here, please? We have lost the wonder. Now, here's mankind outside of Christ. So many have rejected Him. We don't want your rulership. We don't want you. God has said, okay, I'm giving you over to exactly what it is that you desire. And because of that, we are watching mankind void of any understanding. The universe, it came across by itself. Mankind, we are our Savior. That's what's taking place right now. They are preparing, this is going to be their time where they save mankind. They save themselves. And we look at them and go, incredible. How foolish. But at the same time, as the world, some in the world have looked to us and said, what do you have? They don't see much. Because we have lost the wonder. We don't see our God high and lifted up. I include myself. I'm stunned. I'm looking at this and I'm realizing, oh dear God, what has been our problem? Where has our mind been? What has taken place in the body of Christ? It wasn't too long ago I was reading in the major and the minor prophets. Now, before you get there, you're reading of the kings in Israel. And you go from Saul, and then David, who was anointed by God. And he turned Israel over to his son, Solomon. And there was all the splendor. But there was also sin. And from that time, it goes on where there's a progression downward and downward and downward until that time when the enemies of God's people carried them off. There was no longer a temple that was overlaid with gold. There were no longer beautiful city streets, gates, walls. They were all torn down. It's now getting overgrown. The poorest of the land are left there to take care of the vineyards. This is the place where God said, I will put my name. But they've been carried off. And you begin to read in the major and then in the minor prophets. And I know sometimes we get in to those books and we think, well, this doesn't impact me. The reality is that it does. Because book after book after book after book, we begin to understand the progression of the mind, listen, that has lost the wonder. And next thing you know, Israel's going after Baal, going after Asherah, turned their back on God. And God sends prophets, and the people don't listen. Folks, we need to listen. Not for the sake of the one that's giving the message. He's the God that speaks. We need to hear His voice. We need to find once again the wonder. You see, everything that's going on around this world, in the most minute detail, God is orchestrating. Sometimes we don't understand. It was a heartbreak to read this morning that there were 82 people in a hospital in India that died. 23 of them, at least 23 of them, were there on ventilators because they had the virus. And chaos exploded in that place. God, why? I don't know. I don't know. None of us do. But our God is working. Mankind nightly looks into the stars, and the Bible is still true that the heavens declare the glory of God. We can know the wonder. Our God rules from on high. In Psalm 71, we are reminded. There's a lot of us here that we're in the older generation. I'm reading a book right now, The Glory of Aging. And I thought, wow, you know, it was recommended to me by a pastor friend of mine. It was actually put out, it was printed by the Christian Law Association, reminding us that, you know something, we never get away from needing the wonder, folks. Are you listening? We have an obligation. Psalm 71, verse 17. O God, Thou hast taught me from my youth. My wife got saved when she was 11. I was saved when I was 13. Some here, you were saved as a child, or at the very least, you heard the gospel. Hitherto have I declared thy wondrous works, the psalmist goes on to say. Now also, when I am old and gray-headed, O God, forsake me not until I have showed thy strength unto this generation, and thy power to everyone that is to come. We have an obligation. Listen to me now. We have an obligation to the younger generation to not lose the wonder. We have an obligation to continue to seek Him. Because the times are changing and He is in charge. This world is not the same. It never will be. And by God's grace, while the one part, the majority, are speaking absolute foolishness, there are those that stand and with love for their God say, "Thus saith the Lord." There is no other way around it. The title of my message this morning is Now More Than Ever. And indeed, now more than ever, we need to remember and see our God has given us opportunity. Now again, those of us that are older, it's interesting, there's a verse that I've never seen it like this. 2 Corinthians 4:16. For which cause we faint not. Listen to this. But though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. Did you hear that? I have looked in the mirror. By the way, I really did try to get my hair cut this last week. But the barber that Roger and I go to, the shop got hit with COVID. They'll be back open in the middle of this week. I can't wait. Otherwise, I'm going to ask somebody with scissors to cut this off. I can't stand my hair like this. But I've looked in the mirror. I got a nice little zipper now. My arms haven't been so skinny like this. It's driving me up a wall. For 3 months, I can't pick up anything more than 10 pounds. The outward man perisheth. Now I was told my heart is strong. Praise God, that's great. But I look in the mirror and it's like, oh my soul. But you know, I can get in the Word. We all can. And the inward man is renewed daily. We need to maintain that testimony of God's grace. Why? Here's why. We have a testimony to maintain, but number two, we have a truth to live by. We have a truth to live by. Could you please go to John 14? John 14. And I will pray the Father, he says in verse 16. Jesus said, and He shall give you another Comforter. Comforter, Parakletos, one called another alongside. There's two different Greek words that Jesus could use for the word that is translated another. Another of a different kind. Another of the same kind. That's what was used here. He says, just like me, I will send you someone. Even, verse 17, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him. For he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. Greek word, orphanos. I won't leave you an orphan. I will come unto you. Too many of us looking ahead and yet forgetting the presence and power. We look at the possibilities of what is coming. Have we forgotten? John 14:27. Peace I leave with you. My peace give I to you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. I watched a video recently on the explosion. Remember, just recently, in Beirut, Lebanon, that destroyed so much. There were Australians that were living there in the city. Some in the medical field. And this one was talking about everybody in this place, in this city, are on antidepressants. You know, people are scared today. Jesus says to those who have trusted Him, I have given you my peace. What a truth to live by. But then he goes on to say in John 15, verse 5, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. Now listen. For without me, ye can do nothing. I'm thinking about this, and I'm thinking about you, and I'm thinking about ministry in these end days. I woke up, and I mean my God spoke to me. He spoke, and He reminded me. I'm telling you, He spoke to me as sure as I am standing here now. And He speaks to us all. Without me, Mike, you can't do anything. You know something? I rejoice that I have a God, we all do, that when it comes to what is going on in this world, we will not face it alone, and we need not face it in our own power. Without me, ye can do nothing. Praise God, we don't have to. There was much that took place when I was in the hospital. By the way, I've got to tell you this one thing. It was the night before the surgery. It was Wednesday night. I don't like being without my wife. You know, I'm a typical Rogers male. In other words, I'm a wuss. I'm going into surgery early the next morning. And all of a sudden, through my door comes an individual. And I can tell, number one, they're smiling. And number two, I think I know this person. It was about 8 o'clock at night. It was Alfred. And he was bringing me 3 bowls of fruit that I could eat. I could eat that. Not a cheeseburger, anything like that. What a blessing that was, Alfred. What a joy. You know, there is nothing like the body of Christ. There's nothing. But I'll never forget, God did something when I was there. Here we are again in these times, and the Lord never wastes anything. It had been about 2 or 3 days. I had the surgery. I had just come up from ICU. So I forget, I think it was on the 3rd floor or something like that there at Mercy. I think it was 3rd floor. I can't remember, brother. I was talking to one of the nurses. I was hoping that he was going to be able to make it this morning, but he wasn't. His name's Andre. Christian guy, great guy. It was about 5:15 in the morning. You know how it is in a hospital. You're sleeping during the day. You're awake at night. I mean, it's crazy. And I was talking to him about being an encouragement to the nurses. Because I'm telling you, the work that they do, absolutely phenomenal. I praise God for anybody that goes in there and cleans up other people's messes and puts up with other people's attitudes. It's insane. It's so silly. So he and I are talking about being an encouragement. Folks, this honestly happened. He left my room at about 5:20. I lay there in my bed and I said, Lord, if there's something you want to teach me while I'm here in the hospital, please let me know. Folks, it wasn't 5 minutes later. My door is open. They've just brought an individual into the room right next to me. This is happening right outside my door. All of a sudden, I hear, do you got a pulse? You got a pulse. You got a pulse. Bam! Code blue, code blue. They hit the big button. And I heard people running from everywhere. Now, you know, you get in that weakened condition, you can get emotional quite easy. I started to cry. I said, oh God, please be with that. Lord, whatever you got to do. Lord, please help that person to survive. Lord, please help. I mean, they're running in. They're doing this. They're doing that. I actually got out of the bed. And I started walking to the door. There were 4 nurses standing outside the door. And they're all watching what's going on there. I looked at them and said, I want you to know I'm praying for you. They said, thank you so much. We appreciate it. I looked over to the left into the room right next to me. There was a young nurse. She was doing chest compressions, trying to get the person, the heart to beat. And there were a ton of people around there doing what they've got to do. And I got to thinking about this. You know, praise God for these people. They didn't have to do that. They are doing everything they can to keep that person alive. Everything they can. Well, this one young man, he kind of escorted me back to into my room and closed the door. I heard them continue as they worked on him. They got him stabilized, took him downstairs, back to ICU. Now remember, I have prayed, Lord, whatever it is you're trying to teach me, if there is something, please teach me. Andre came back and I asked him about it and he said, yeah, you know, we've got to be careful about information that we give out, if any. I said, look, I don't want name, I don't want nothing of that, but I want to know what happened to that young man. About an hour later, a nurse came into my room and dropped a note on the table in front of me. Male, 30 years old, didn't make it. You know something, folks? This world is on code blue. And there are people out there, they will hear the gospel. But as a whole, the world is dying. I sat there, I laid there and I cried and I said, thank you, Lord. I will never forget that night. I'll never forget it. God showed me an urgency. Here were people that absolutely gave themselves to do whatever they could to keep a stranger alive. Folks, eternity is coming upon us. There is something each and every one of us can do. By God's grace, we need not fear. We can rejoice in our hope. I don't know what's going to happen in the world, but I do know this. Solomon wrote to his son in Proverbs 3, be not afraid of sudden fear, neither of the desolation of the wicked when it cometh. Did you hear that? Neither the desolation of the wicked when it cometh. For the Lord shall be thy confidence, and shall keep thy foot from being taken. I am coming at the end of the message and the end of my strength. But can I just say this, please? As the title of the message goes, now, more than ever, number one, draw near to Him. Draw near to listen. Number two, surrender. Thy will be done. He taught us to pray. We'll be having more to say about that later. Number three, rest in His love and care. Number four, may the Lord help us to realize our dependence on Him. Without me, ye can do nothing. Our God knows what He's doing. We need to continue to live with eternity in view.